See, God has given us the freedom to choose. So if he's given us the freedom to choose whatever it is that we want, that's freedom. See, God doesn't force us to serve him. He doesn't force us to come to church. He doesn't, force us to do anything. But he gives us the freedom to choose to do what is right. Now, we already know what is right. It's all in the Word of God. So we can't even say, well, I don't even know if this is right or not. What is right? I think we all know right from wrong. Amen? You know, we know whether, you know, if you're a leader, let's say, in the ministry, we're to be the examples, right? So we need to do what is right in order to lead others. I mean, if we do what is wrong, they're going to do the same thing, correct? You know, so this is something that God has given us. He's given us a choice to be able to do what is right or wrong. Amen? Amen? And so we see here that God has called us to be free. He says, do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Now, I know that Pastor, a lot of people may feel like, wow, Pastor has a lot of rules and a lot of, you know, blah, blah, blah. But isn't it in the Word of God? It says, you know, if we're out and about, we're not to do anything that would cause somebody else to stumble, to fall. I think he's used the example, you know, if you go and you're out and about and you're dying of thirst, you know, and you look at that liquor store and you say, whew, I'm sure they got a pop in there, a soda. But walking into that liquor store would cause somebody to fall. You have a choice. You could walk in there, but you have to always stop. Am I causing somebody to stumble? If I tell everybody else they should be in church for every service and everything that the church does, but I'm not there, am I causing others to stumble? No, really. You know, if we are here to support this ministry, but we're out there doing something else, and it may not even be bad. It may be good, but we're not supporting where God has placed us. Is that right or wrong? It's wrong, because God has placed us there to support it, you know? And so there could be many things, many examples that I could use. And, you know, we are to be free, yes, not in bondage. God says, I don't want you to have any more shame. God is so good. He says, I have broken those chains in your life. But how many of you know that those chains aren't automatically broken the day we get saved? It'd be nice if they were, but they're not all broken just because we accepted Christ. We live and we continue to walk, and God begins to show us the things in our life that need to be broken. I remember when we moved from Hawaii to Pueblo. I didn't want to move here because I didn't want anybody to remember me from my past. I didn't realize there were still bondages in my life, because when the bondages aren't there and they're broken, I don't care what you think of me in my past. But at that time, I did. I was like, I don't want to go back to Pueblo. Who's going to listen to me minister? Everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, I know you. I know what you've done. So there were still bondages there. But God had me break those bondages by getting up and testifying of my past. He had me bring up the thing that I was trying to hide. Here I was hiding it. And he says, bring it out in the open. But I can't, Lord. It's too ugly. Bring it out. You want me to bring out all this dirt? Bring it out. He says, when you bring it out and you testify of all the things you've done and how I saved your soul, he says, when you begin to lay hands on the others, they're going to be set free because of what I brought you out of. And at the same time, your chains are going to be broken. Little did I know that as I was praying for somebody, I was being set free. That's the way it is when we bring out the word of God. A lot of times that word is just for us as well. But as we're giving it out, as we're praying, we're being set free as well. We should be continually being delivered every day. Amen? You know, being set free of things that keep us into bondage. Not feeling like, oh my gosh, you mean we have to be here to support this ministry and we can't be anyplace else? It's your choice. But what is the right thing to do? How would it be if Pastor and I went all over town and said, oh, we don't want to come to church tonight? Who would be here? Amen? Who would minister? You know, we are not to be ashamed of the things that God set us free from, because those chains have been broken. You know, Paul himself tries to teach in the Word of God how to tell the difference between freedom and sin. But one of the things that he really stresses in the Word is that when we are delivered, we have the freedom to serve. Because, again, we're not worried about the shame. We're not worried about anything because we're not in bondage anymore. Amen? So we're able to serve freely. But when we have sin in our life, we have no freedom at all. We're all chained up. Paul used the example that when he was in bondage, he, you know, I guess back then in those days, they used to have to carry a dead corpse and they would attach it to themselves. And I can't really remember what, you know, what the whole thing was about, but they would, I don't know if it was for punishment or what. That's what I would think. It had to be for something awful. But, you know, they would have to put a dead body, tie it to them, and the body would have to face them. And every place they walked, they had this dead corpse there. And, I did a study of that years ago and gave the teaching to our youth. That's how many years ago, when I was a youth pastor, about 30 years ago. So I'm trying to remember what it was. But every place he went, he had to take that dead corpse with him. And, you know, it's no different when we do things in the flesh. When we have not allowed God to deliver us yet, we're carrying that dead corpse everywhere we go. We're just walking with it. And the smell even is nauseating. And yet God said all we need to do is call out to him and we would be free. And we were kind of discussing this last night in our temple restoration, because Paul couldn't figure out in chapter 7 of Romans why he felt so much bondage. And that was really the chapter that I taught on years ago, that, you know, he used the he struggled. He would say, the things that I know that I should not be doing, find myself doing. And the things that I know that I should do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man am I. But it was when he threw off that corpse, when he threw it off, and in chapter 8, he says, therefore, there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus and walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So that was the big difference. So that's the key. I'm building a foundation for you. In order to have true deliverance, you have to, first of all, get rid of the old flesh. You have to be willing to choose to do the right thing because God's given you the freedom. See, a lot of people feel like, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that. No, you could do whatever you want. God has given you the freedom because he wants to see what you're going to choose. Are you going to choose to follow after the flesh, or are you going to choose to follow after the spirit? The choice is yours. We choose it. And that determines our deliverance. Amen? So here, he said, we are to be free, not in bondage. No more shame, because the chains have been broken. You know, we should have the freedom to serve. Amen? Because when sin is in our life, we have no freedom at all. Think about it. When sin is there, you don't even feel right. You're not at peace. Because sin enslaves you to Satan and to others, or to your own sinful nature. Again, that's what happened to Paul in chapter 7. He was enslaved to sin until he finally got it. It's almost like revelation has to come. You know, isn't it awesome when God just turns on the light bulb and you're like, oh my gosh. One of the sisters was sharing last night, I got it. I finally got it. And I'm like looking at her and she says, Pastor Grace, how many years have you been teaching this in our class? I said, about 30. She says, well, I've been here for 6. But she got it. Amen? And sometimes it may take a while to get it. But God is saying, if you continue to walk in the flesh, you will become enslaved by Satan. If you continue to walk in the spirit, you will have freedom. And you will choose to do the right thing. Amen? We should not have to be slaves to sin. Because God has given us the freedom to do what is right so that we will glorify God by serving others. There were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were under pressure to serve another God, but they chose to be faithful, regardless of the circumstances, even if it meant they were to die. They had a freedom. The pressure was there. They told everybody, you are going to bow down to this God. The three of them thought, I'm only going to bow down to one God. They were thrown in the furnace. Turned up 10 times hotter. 7 times hotter. Can you imagine that even when the soldiers, you know, went there to turn it up, it was so hot, it killed them. And yet Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had to walk right in. Can you imagine? They just, I'm not bowing down to no God. I'm just bowing down to my God. They went in there saying, I know that my God can deliver me. But you know what? Even if he doesn't, he's still God. Amen? You know, how many times do we cry out to God and we pray for something, and if it doesn't happen, we're mad at God? They didn't have that attitude. They said, I know that he could deliver me. See, the word says all you got to do is call out to God and he's going to deliver you. But how many of us truly believe that? They went a step further and they said, you know what, whether he does or not, it doesn't matter because he is still God. When you pray for somebody and you say, Lord, I want you to deliver them. Do you give up because you don't see them being delivered and you say, well, forget this. I'm not even going to serve God anymore. He didn't deliver my loved one. We got to take on that spirit and say, Lord, I know you could deliver them. But if you don't, if they choose not to accept your deliverance, because we know God wants to deliver everybody, I'm still going to serve you. I'm not going to give up. I am still going to serve you. Again, the pressure was there to serve another God, but they chose not to. They chose to be faithful. Amen? They could have said, okay, everybody else is doing it. If I don't, we're going to get in trouble. Let's bow down. They chose to be faithful regardless. Amen? Obadiah 1:17. I want you to look at that. And I'm going somewhere with this. This is going to bless you. I know it is. It blessed me. It says in Obadiah 1:17, it says, but on Mount Zion, here we are seeing that word again. Zion means what? The church. It's referring to God's people. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its possessions. Again, I want to look at that. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. What is God saying? There is deliverance in the house of God. There is deliverance in the church. There is deliverance. Are you getting it? You know, we come to church week after week after week, still walking in bondage, where God is saying, there is deliverance in the church. Amen? There is deliverance in the house of God. You will not find deliverance out there in the world. You will not find deliverance with people who don't know God. But God says you will find deliverance in his house. Amen? Amen. There shall be holiness. You cannot live a holy life without first being free. Do you ever wonder why you struggle and say, why can't I live a holy life? I try. I tell myself, I'm going to do good. You better learn to say no. You better do this. You better do that. And I do it and do it and do it only to fail. And the answer is because you have not sought deliverance first. You have to be delivered first in order to live a holy life. Because if you're not delivered, you're not free. Amen. You're in bondage. Freedom is what brings a holy life into your life. Brings holiness. Amen? And many Christians today, as I said, cannot live righteous before God because they are bound to certain sins. Now, it may not be a bunch of sins. It may be a certain sin. Maybe sin of pride. Maybe sin of fear. I had a spirit of fear. And I was saved. I was probably, I don't know how many years in the Lord before God delivered me of fear. But I could not live in freedom if I'm constantly in fear. I was fearful of going to hell. I was fearful of doing this. If I did that, everything was sending me to hell. But when God delivered me, there was freedom, and I knew, oh my gosh, I don't want that bondage. Amen? Have you ever been in fear? I know what that bondage is like. You know, and some people live in fear that they're going to die. Some people live in fear that they're going to be left alone. They live in fear that they're going to be whatever it is. That's an awful bondage. But God says, I can deliver you of that. Amen? Whatever it is that you feel in bondage to, God says, call unto me. Come into the house of the Lord. I can and will deliver you. Amen? It says, and the house of Jacob shall possess their inheritance. How many of you understand what the inheritance is? He says again in Obadiah 1:17, but on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its possessions. Jacob shall possess their inheritance. Every one of us has an inheritance from God. Amen? Our inheritance becomes ours because of deliverance. Again, if you don't allow God to deliver you, you're not going to have the freedom and you're not going to have your deliverance. Amen? You're not going to have your inheritance. Now, our inheritance becomes ours because of our deliverance, and we become more Christ-like. We begin to receive a double portion. We begin to receive power. Those are all of our inheritance as well. Do you know that the ingredient, I'm going to give you the ingredient, is deliverance, holiness equals inheritance. Say it again. Deliverance leads to holiness, and holiness equals inheritance. Amen? You cannot inherit all God has for you if you are bound. Think about it. When I was in bondage to fear, I couldn't receive peace. That's part of my inheritance. I couldn't receive it because the fear was there. Amen? Samson was bound because of sin and could no longer possess the power of God upon his life. He was bound, no longer free. Amen? He was captive. In Psalms 33:16, it says, "No king is saved by the size of his army, no warrior escapes by his great strength." Now, this is important. You cannot be delivered by your own strength. So you can't just, try to convince your mind and force yourself to do the right thing, because that's not freedom. You can't train yourself. Deliverance is, again, calling out to God and receiving his deliverance to where you simply don't want to do that anymore. It's gone. It's gone. I'm not even tempted. We talk about it in our temple restoration. When all of us received our deliverance from gluttony, it's like, I don't care to eat all that stuff I used to eat. I used to eat a cake all by myself. Think be sick all night, but I used to eat it all by myself. Walk down 100 times if I had to, and I'd cut the skinniest little piece to appease my mind that I'm just eating a little piece of cake. 100 times, that's all, I mean, that was gluttony. You heard me say that when Pastor came up to me one night and said, "Honey, let me pray and cast that gluttony out of you," I got mad. I pointed my finger right back to him and said, "Don't you dare pray for me. I like what I eat." I couldn't even believe I said that. And I just went to bed like, nobody's laying hands on me. So what if I'm 40 pounds overweight? I didn't care. Many of us are like that with our own sin. How many of you have even said, "I don't want to be delivered of that. I like the way it makes me feel." No different. Freedom. Amen? The ingredient, again, is deliverance leads to holiness. Holiness is what brings forth our inheritance. And again, you cannot inherit what God has for you if you're bound. Psalms 33:16, again, says, "No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength." You cannot be delivered by your own strength. None of us could set ourselves free. Only God can deliver us from our bondage. Amen. No, let me listen to this. No man is stronger than the bondage they are in. Only Jesus is stronger and able to break it. In Amos 2, 14 to 15, it says, and I'll read it to you. It says, therefore, the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself. What does it say? Don't matter how mighty you think you are, you cannot deliver yourself. Neither shall he stand that handeth the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. Now I'm going to explain all that because that was King James. What it's talking about right there where it says that handleth the bow means you cannot fight your own battles. You cannot. You could try to fight your own battle, but you can't. And when it's talking about that is swift of foot, it is saying you cannot run away from your bondage. And you cannot pretend it's not there. See, a lot of times people will wear a mask and they'll pretend, I don't have this problem. I remember when I was a sinner and I went out and went to the masquerade parties for Halloween. I would wear a mask and boy, I could do anything. I could act stupid. I could be the fool because I was hiding behind the mask. Nobody knew who I was. I could get away with it. And I would win all of the contests because they would, you know, have these contests. I'd win. Can you imagine Pastor Grace out there behind a mask? And sometimes we're like that as Christians. We'll wear the mask and we'll pretend, I don't have a bondage. But you know what? God removes the mask and reveals who we really are. And sometimes we don't want that to happen, but you know, that's the best thing that could happen to us. Because it is when God exposes who we are that we could seek for his deliverance. And we could cry out to God and let him deliver us. Amen? Do you see where I'm going with this? So it says, you know, we can't pretend that it isn't there. Many Christians have tried to be free on their own strength, but they have failed. You cannot be free by your own power or your own decision making. And that's what I was saying. When we make our own decisions and we say, you know, okay, we're going into January 2008. My resolution is I'm not going to do this anymore. That's your decision making. God is saying, call out to me and I will deliver you. And you won't have to fight that anymore. Because I'll do it for you. You can't fight that battle. You're too weak. But I'm strong. And I will do it for you. Amen? You can only be free when you go to Jesus. In Ezekiel 17, 15, it says, shall he escape that doeth such things? He was talking about someone who is very rebellious. Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? Deliverance, again, belongs to those who are willing to live in God's covenant. There is nothing in you that God cannot take out. Think about it. If I have something in my life that is not right, God could take it out of me. I can't. I could pretend. I could hide behind it. But God could take it out. Do you see the difference? He could literally... I've shared this before when I got saved. I felt the hand of God go into my heart and pull out the crud. He pulled it out of me. I wasn't the same. Amherst was just telling somebody yesterday, oh my gosh, did you know that when my mom was a sinner. She cussed the wall off the, you know, cussed the wallpaper off the wall. Is that how they say it? Because I did. I used to cuss using every other word. But when God saved me, he got rid of that crud. And not one bad word ever came out again. I was delivered. I didn't even pray for the deliverance. I just got saved. I didn't even know what it was. But I wept before the Lord with all of my heart, and I told him to get rid of, you know, really everything. And he did. And then, you know, there were some other things, like I said, the spirit of fear that got it down the road. Amen? But it says here, therefore the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself, neither shall he stand that handeth the bowl, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. We cannot deliver ourselves. Amen? Only God can. In John 8:36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. See, a lot of times we read that word, but we haven't totally surrendered that to God. And we just read it, and we take that word for ourselves, and we say we're free. But then we're still doing what Paul said, the things that we should not be doing. That's not freedom. See, people... that's why sometimes I'll ask somebody, well, how do you know you're free? Well, because I'm taking God at his word. We could all take God at his word, but how do you know that you're delivered? I know when I get delivered, I no longer do that anymore. It's not even there. It's like gone. It's like, oh my gosh. When the spirit of fear left me, I was like, where'd it go? Where's my companion? He was with me for 30 years. What happened? He was gone. Thank God it was only 20-something years. But you know what? After walking with the spirit of fear, he becomes your companion. Hey, buddy, what's going on? I talked to him. What'd you see? Where is that? You know, you talk to that spirit, right? You know, what? Should look out the window? Who's out there? Hey, man, so when it's gone, you know it's gone. That's how you know you've been delivered. I mean, it is literally gone. It's not there. Amen. You know, someone told me one time, well, I know God delivered me, but there's not a day that goes by that I'm not tempted. I'm like, then you're not delivered. I'm sorry, but that's not delivered. Think about that. What kind of freedom is that? God says, I will deliver you if you call out to me. But then every day you're like, oh my gosh, no, I can't go there. Ooh, no. No. What kind of life is that? That would be awful, right? That's not the God I serve. That's not what the word freedom means. Freedom means that if it's there, I don't even care for it. It doesn't even do nothing for me anymore. I'm not even tempted with it. It's not even no big deal. That is deliverance. To be able to say, I am free, I could look at you, I could walk by you, I could even sit by you, and I am not even tempted with that anymore. Amen? That is freedom. That's deliverance. Not the other kind of stuff, you know? That's what I'm saying. We need to get a hold of this so that you know that you know that you know you have been delivered. And if you haven't been, call out to God. Don't do it on your own. You do it on your own might, you are going to fail. All you're doing is putting that little demon to sleep. And it's going to pop its head up, and down the road, you're going to fall. But deliverance means, I cut you out. Get out of here. I don't want you in my life anymore. Amen? Amen. In Jeremiah 39:17-18, it says, and I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. out of the hand of the terrible. Terrible is referring to Satan. I will deliver you out of the hand of Satan. Amen. Isaiah 49:24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? What that means is those who are bound are the prey. They are the prey. Should they be taken from the mighty? The mighty is the devil. Amen. Or the lawful captive delivered? Satan binds those who allow him to bind them legally. I want you to get a hold of this. If you have bondages in your life of any sort, it may be one thing, it may be more, but if you are bound to anything, it's because you gave Satan the legal right to do it. You basically said, here I am. Go ahead. Take me captive. You legally gave him the right. Because if you didn't give him the right, there's no way he could have you captive. So when we know that is truth, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm giving him the right to do this to me? Then you could choose to tell him to go. You could choose and give God the right to set you free. Do you see what I mean? You have the freedom of choice. So he's, you know, again, Satan binds those who allow him to bind them legally. Look at Samson. He was an example. He allowed the devil to bind him. Amen? The enemy. God is asking, this is God. He's asking a question. He's saying, can a person who has given the devil legal right to be bound be free? Let me ask that again. God is saying, can a person who has given the devil legal rights to be bound be free? I read that scripture. Shall the prey, that's us, be taken from the mighty, the devil? The mighty is the devil. Shall we be taken from the devil? Well, what do you think? Yeah. Don't you want to be taken away from the devil? You know what I mean? Shall we, being the prey, be taken away from the mighty who is Satan? Yes. I want to be taken away from the devil. I want God to free me. So the answer to that is yes, even though I may have given legal ground for the devil to put me in bondage, God can set me free. Amen? God can set me free. So if you are in bondage to anything, the word tonight is God can set you free. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that is, you know, your weakness. You're never going to change. You're going to be who you are. You're never going to be any better. You're going to be just whoever it is that you think you are. But God says no. The devil may have you in bondage, but I could free you. Amen? All you got to do is stop agreeing with the devil and start agreeing with God. Amen? Yes, God can set us free. All we have to do is call upon his name. I want you to look at this. Amen? He said, even in that same scripture of Isaiah, it says, and I will save thy children. I like that one. When God took me there, I'm like, oh, Lord, I've been standing on that, and I've always stood on that for my kids, my grandkids. And sometimes, you know, the devil will try to make you think, I'm never going to let go of them. Well, you know what? God can take the prey out of the mighty. God can deliver those who are bound. Amen? God can set them free. And God can save our children, amen? And he could save not only our children, but our future children, our grandchildren. He could deliver them. In Proverbs 11:21, it says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Woo! Our seed. Did you hear that? Our seed shall be delivered and will be kept in deliverance from bondage. Why? Because God has given us the word. And if we line up with God and believe it and stand on that, God said, I will do whatever it takes to deliver them. Amen. In Isaiah 46:4, it says, and even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. God says, I'm going to deliver you even till you become a little old lady, a little old man. He says, I am still going to deliver you no matter how old you get. Amen. Our God will deliver us until the day we die, because our life is a life of deliverance. Don't ever think that, oh, I don't have to be delivered. God's already done a work in me. Oh, yeah. No, God delivers us every day of something. Amen. Isaiah 51, 14 to 15, it says, the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that has divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. What does it say there? It says that he should not die in the pit. Our cry should be, Lord, I want deliverance. I do not want to die in the pit. Amen? Amen? Have you ever felt being in the pit? What, you know, really, I think everybody who's ever been a Christian knows what it's like to be in the pit and you feel like you're going to die. And all God is saying is, cry out to me and I will deliver you. Amen? I don't want to die in the pit. I want to live. Amen. Isaiah 51, 16. I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heaven and lay the foundation of thy earth, and say unto Zion, which is the church, thou art my people. God says, cry out to me, church, and you will be delivered, because thou art my people. Amen. You're not going to find your deliverance out there. You're going to find it in the church. He says, I have put my words in your mouth. When God begins to deliver you, he is going to put his words in your mouth. Amen. And where it talks about, and right here it says, and have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. That means that when God's word comes, his presence comes with it. And you're going to feel the presence of God. The word of God begins to lay down the foundation on your heart for total deliverance when you begin to eat the word. That's when you begin to get delivered, when you begin to eat it, when you begin to allow it to become real in your life. It's not just something you're hearing from me, but when you begin to receive it and it begins to stir up something in your spirit, and you begin to take what is being said and you chew it. It becomes a part of you. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 51, 17. I'm about to end, and it says, awake, awake, rise up, O Jerusalem. When he is talking to us and he's saying, awake, awake, he even says it twice. It means it is time to wake up out of your bondage. It is time to wake up out of your misery. It is time to get out of that death that you are living and allow God to deliver you. Because deliverance begins with the word of God in our mouth, which lays the foundation of your liberty. Eat it. Let it be real in your spirit. Come to Mount Zion, and I will deliver you. Because after your deliverance, you're going to see holiness come into your life. And when that holiness starts to come into your life, you are going to be positioned for the inheritance. I want my inheritance. I don't want to lose out on nothing. Do you know what it would feel like for you to be a part of a family and not receive your inheritance? That's probably the worst thing that could happen to you. It's no different in the body of Christ. God's going to come and he's going to give his inheritance to his people in his church that cry out for deliverance and say, deliver me, I do not want to be in the pit anymore. And there are going to be those who never cried out. Those who never chose to eat the word of God. Those that chose not to cry out. And God says, I have nothing for you. You will be left empty-handed. Knowing that you are a child and yet received nothing.